This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Today we shall be touring three particular ayat. Ayat that are very precious and indispensable in the life of every Muslim who aspires to be or claims to be a practicing Muslim who's striving for the best. These ayat are essential in the life of every Muslim who claims to be treading the path of da'wah and the path of ibadah, worship, and the path of Islamic commitment. These ayat are in description of the cream of the crop, the finest of all humanity according to Allah. Allah says, وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ أُولِي الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَبْصَارِ إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِصَةٍ ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ. Allah says to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, remember our servants, Ibrahim, Abraham, Ishaq, Isaac, and Yaqub, alayhim as-salam, those men, Allah says, who had strength and vision. Indeed, we have chosen them for an exclusive quality, Allah says, perpetual remembrance of the home of the hereafter. Allah then says, and these people are to us amongst the best of all people, the outstanding and the chosen. وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا, remember them, Allah says, because they are the finest of all human beings. They are the exemplaries. They are those who put forward for us biographies that are worthy of being emulated and studied and copied till the end of time. These are the real examples. وَذْكُرْ عِبَادَنَا, remember them. عِبَادَنَا, our slaves. Look at how Allah Ta'ala attributed them to Him. Our slaves, عِبَادَنَا. Thus it was their ubudiyya, their servitude and slavery to Allah that raised them to this high rank of praise and fame. Our slaves. The lower an individual lowers himself to his Creator, the higher Allah Ta'ala will raise this individual. They were people who experienced the meaning of ubudiyyah inwardly and outwardly. They were true slaves of Allah. They were not people who objected to revelation. They were not people who argued or hesitated at the prohibitions of Islam or the commandments. They were not lazy or sluggish in the least, but they really felt that they were the possession of Allah. Ibadana, wadhkur ibadana, remember our slaves. Abraham, Ibrahim, and Ishaq, and Yaqub. Then Allah Ta'ala gives us two characteristics of these people. Ulil aid wal abisahar. Those people of strength and vision, they were strong. What does it mean that they were strong? It means that they were ahlul quwwati ala ibadatillahi wa ta'atihi. It means that they were people who were strong in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His obedience. As was mentioned by Ibn Abbas and Qatada and Mansur and Mujahid, and chosen by Ibn Jarir al-Tabari and others. They were strong. In every avenue of Islamic commitment, they were people of power. When it came to their da'wah, they were strong. When it came to their personal ibadah, they were strong. Salah in jama'ah, recitation of Qur'an, they were strong. In the face of the adversaries of Islam, they were strong. In moving away from temptations and desires and the whisperings of shaitan, they were adamant, they were strong. In trying to implement the deen of Allah in the land of Allah, they were strong. Ahlul quwwati ala ibadatillahi, ala ibadatillahi wa ta'atihi, strong. Strong in the worship of Allah and His obedience. And with that said, let us take a quick look at the lives of some of our predecessors who looked to emulate this characteristic of quwwah, strength, in the path of Allah. How did they understand the guidance of this ayah? Look at this episode, brothers and sisters, with me, and we're going to be touring a very fragrant garden now. If we were to look now at the chapter of Sana'a as an example, you will find Maymun, Ibrahim ibn Maymun al-Marwazi, who was a goldsmith, كان يطرق الذهب والفضة. He used to manufacture items from gold and silver. But whenever he would hear the call for prayer, the adhan, he wouldn't lower his hammer for another strike. He would put it aside and make his way for salah. Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami, he was also a man who would be carried to Salatul Jama'ah. Because of his illness, he couldn't walk. He would say to them, carry me to salah. And even if it was raining outside, and the land was very muddy, and remember, their paths were not paved, he would insist that he is carried on the shoulders of men to attend the prayer in Jama'ah. Abu Abdurrahman al-Sulami. If you were to look at the life of Ibn al-Musayyib, he would say about himself, لم تفتني تكبيرة الإحرام منذ خمسين سنة ولم أرى قفى رجل في الصلاة منذ خمسين سنة. He says, I have been responding to the first takbirah of salah, Allahu Akbar, when the imam begins. I haven't missed that takbirah for over 50 years. And he says, I have not looked at the back of the head. I have not looked at the back of the head of any individual in salah for the last 50 years. In other words, he was in the front row. It was only the imam in front of him, nobody else, for 50 years. Maryam عليه السلام, Allah Ta'ala would say about her, وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ مَرْيَمْ إِذِ انْتَبَذَتْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا مَكَانًا شَرْقِيَّةً. Remember, Maryam عليه السلام, when she moved away from her family to an eastern direction, فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِنْ دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا, and then she placed a barrier between herself and people. Why? To worship Allah. To be in isolation with her Creator. These are people of quwwah, strength, aid in the path of Allah in pursuit of His pleasure. If you were to turn another page and look at our predecessors and how they exemplified this ayah in the field of Qur'an, you will see a similar theme of hard work and dedication, or if you wish, you can say strength and power. Waqi', the shaykh of Imam al-Shafi'i, he would finish the recitation of the Qur'an from cover to cover once every 3 days. And when he would wake up in his qiyam, he would recite Al-Mufassal from the Qur'an, the last 60 or so chapters of the Book of Allah. And then he would sit up and ask Allah to pardon him and to forgive his sins all the way until Fajr would arrive. This was Waqi' ibn al-Jarrah. As for Qatada, Qatada would finish the recitation of the Qur'an from cover to cover once every 7 days. But when the month of Ramadan would come, he would finish the recitation once every 3 days. And when the last 10 days of Ramadan would come, he would finish the recitation of the Qur'an once every single day. This was Qatada. As for Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari, he would finish the recitation of the Qur'an from cover to cover every single day. And when the month of Ramadan would come, and after the Taraweeh prayer, he would go home and continue his voluntary salah, and he would finish the recitation of the Qur'an again in the night, once every 3 nights. This was Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. And what is beautiful, brothers and sisters, is that these amazing examples that we quote and study, they are not confined and exclusive to those of the past. But we have luminous and inspiring examples with regards to our contemporaries as well. Ummatul Islami, the Ummah of Islam, Ummatul Walladah, is an ummah that is always giving birth to greatness, regardless of the place and the era and the time. From our contemporaries, we have the likes of Shaykh Ahmad ibn Abd al-Rahman ibn Qasim, the famous scholar who collated much of Ibn Taymiyyah's work and made it accessible to us. He was a man who would recite the Qur'an from cover to cover once every 3 days. And since he was 18 years old, he would pray no less than 2 hours a night, قيام الليل, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before Fajr. And if he felt sleepy and drowsy, he would bathe himself in water, and he may do this several times in each night to dispel sleep from his eyes. And he would dampen his head covering in salah with water to make himself uncomfortable, to make sure he is focused for Allah. Imagine, this is just one of our contemporaries who passed away not too long ago, rahimahullah. As for Shaykh Ahmed Ibn Abdullah Al-Khudayri, another one of our contemporaries, his grandson Dr. Muhammad Al-Khudayri would say that my grandfather would finish the recitation of the Qur'an from cover to cover every single day all throughout the year. But when the month of Ramadan would come, he would finish the recitation of the Qur'an 60 times. Twice a day. This is one of our contemporaries, Ummatun Walladah. As for Shaykh Muhammad Al-Mukhtar Al-Amin Al-Shanqiti, Sahibu Adwa Al-Bayan, his son said to his father one day that, "Oh my father, they say that it's quite impossible for a person to read the Qur'an from cover to cover in one day." His father said to him, "Oh my son, although this isn't the sunnah, to complete the recitation of the Qur'an in less than 3 days, but it is very easy. And oh my son, I say this to you. When I used to be young, and I was newly treading now the path of knowledge, I remember after Salatul Isha, I would begin my voluntary prayer, and I would start reading from the beginning of the Qur'an al-Fatiha, and by the time Fajr Salah was arriving, I would be concluding the closing ayat from the Qur'an, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ." As for Shaykh Muhammad Al-Mansur Al-Qasimi rahimahullah, he would pray no less than 3 hours a night in Qiyam al-Layl. Look, ulil aid, people of strength, ya ikhwan. 3 hours a night in Qiyam. One particular evening he woke up a little bit late. He had overslept, according to him, just an hour instead of three before Salatul Fajr. And he said, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma jurni fi musibati wa khulufni khayran minha. Oh Allah, please reward me for this calamity of mine and give me something that is better than it." People of strength, people of resolve, people of passion and zeal. They were not sluggish or lazy in the least. If you were to turn another page in the lives of these giants from the past and our contemporaries, alhamdulillah, the page of Hajj, you will see a similar theme of strength and passion in the path of Allah. Hajj, Ibn Wahb, he said, "I performed Hajj no less than 36 times in my life." Ayyub al-Sikhtiyani, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, and Tawus ibn Kaysan, they said, "We performed Hajj 40 times in our lives." Isa ibn Yunus, he said, "I performed Hajj 45 times in my life." Makki ibn Ibrahim al-Hanbali said, "I performed Hajj 50 times in my life." Ata'a, he said, "I performed Hajj 70 times in my life." Sufyan ibn Uyayna said, "Shahidtu 80 mawqifa." I witnessed 80 standings on Mount Arafah. 80 times he performed Hajj. People of strength. People who took this deen seriously and wholeheartedly. Abu Muslim al-Khawlani would say, as Abi Nu'aym narrates in his Hilyatul Awliya, "لو قيل إن جهنم تسعر ما استطعت أن أزيد في عملي." If it was said to me that the hellfire now has been set ablaze and it is preparing to take its inmates, I would not be able to do any more. I'm doing the most I can. So even if I see paradise and hell, I cannot do any more. They were not sluggish or lazy in the least. Only aid, people of strength. I ask Allah Ta'ala to make us amongst them. Alhamdulillah. Just because they were strong and powerful in the path of Allah, this does not mean that they were reckless and rash. For this reason, Allah Ta'ala said that they were ulil aidi wal absar, people of strength and vision. Remember our servants, Ibrahim and Ishaq and Yaqub, those people of strength and absar, vision. Ibn Jarir al-Tabari narrates in his tafsir that Qatada, he said in his tafsir of this ayah, "Ahlu ma'rifatin bilhaq." They are people, this verse means that they were people who had understanding, vision with regards to the deen of Allah. They were people of knowledge as well. Therefore their passion and their zeal and their strength and their power, they were not boundless. But they were restricted and bound by the bounds of knowledge. They were limited by the limits of Sharia. Therefore, their actions were pleasing to Allah. And their speech was on point. And their behavior took them to Jannah. Because there was a beautiful marriage between strength and knowledge. How beautiful it is when a person gathers between these two traits. And how disappointing it is when somebody gathers the two opposite characteristics of these: laziness in the path of Allah and weakness in His knowledge as well. We shall return to this heading in a moment, those people of vision. But let us move on. Remember our servants, Ibrahim and Ishaq and Yaqub, those of knowledge, those of strength and vision. Allah Ta'ala then now describes them with the third characteristic. This is something we want as well. It is difficult yet easy. Difficult to attain but easy for the ones whom Allah assists to attain. What is this third trait? إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِصَةٍ ذِكْرَ الدَّارِ. إِنَّا أَخْلَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَالِصَةٍ. قَالَ ابْنُ جَرِيرٍ إِنَّا خَصَصْنَاهُمْ بِخَاصَةٍ. ما هي هذه الخصيصة؟ قال ذكر الدار. Allah says, we had given them, chosen them for a very exclusive quality. What is that quality, O Allah? He said, perpetual remembrance of the home of the hereafter. In their standing and in their sitting, in their private and public affairs, in their mornings and in their evenings, in their travel and their residence, in their moments of health and weakness, in their times of richness and poverty, the thought of the Akhirah never ever disappeared from between their very eyes. It was always there in front of them. Never did they forget. And notice the word that Allah uses, dhikra, to speak about their remembrance, not dhikr. Although they seem very similar, but one has an additional letter. We have given them an exclusive quality, dhikra, of the home of the hereafter. What does that mean? This is known as ismu masdar, according to the Arab linguist, a derived noun. تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ قُوَّةٍ فِي الْمَعْنَىٰ لِأَنَّ الزِّيَادَ فِي الْمَبْنَىٰ يَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ الزِّيَادَ فِي الْمَعْنَىٰ. This derived noun indicates that there is additional strength to this term, because additional letters mean that there is an additional emphasis. So Allah did not say dhikr, remembrance, but dhikra, meaning what? Perpetual remembrance. The thought of the hereafter was not a passing one that would come to their minds from time to time. It was an eternal characteristic of these men. Always harboring the thought of the Akhirah. When they would speak, they would see the home of the hereafter. When they would behave, they would remember the home of the hereafter. Had social media existed during their time, before they would post or share or comment or like, they would remember the home of the hereafter. And therefore, what effect would this characteristic have on our lives should we apply it as well? Ya salam. What would happen? There would be no more space in our hearts for bickerings and silly fallouts and long-term bad relationships with another Muslim, because the heart has become too busy with the remembrance of the Akhirah. What would happen? Never again would we find any satisfaction or happiness in sin, in a cigarette, in a shisha lounge, in using interest, in alcohol, in a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, in pornography, in music, or in its like. We would have no room left in our hearts because it has become too consumed with the thought of the hereafter. And many of the disputes that we have between us, many of the fallouts would evaporate and they would fizzle out from our lives, never to be seen again. Because we realize that we are all working for the same goal, that's if we are sincere in that claim. We had given them an exclusive quality, perpetual remembrance of the hereafter. Then Allah says, describing them with a fourth beautiful characteristic, وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ. Remember our slaves Ibrahim and Ishaq and Yaqub, those people of strength and vision. Indeed, we had chosen them with an exclusive characteristic, perpetual remembrance of the hereafter. And then the description, and they are to us, Allah says, amongst the chosen ones and the best and outstanding. Ya salam. Thus, according to Allah, the Creator, these people are the cream of the crop. Those who gather between strength and vision, application and knowledge, enthusiasm and understanding, remembrance of the Akhirah, these are to Allah the finest of humanity. These are the people whom we crave to be. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahmatullahi alayhi has categorized humanity under four broad headings. According to him, the people that were mentioned in this ayah can be categorized under four broad headings. In his book Al-Jawab al-Kafi, he says, as for the first category, هُمُ الَّذِينَ وُصِفُوا بِكَمَالِ الْإِدْرَاكِ وَكَمَالِ الْقُوَّةِ عَلَىٰ تَنْفِيذِ الْحَقِّ فَهَؤُلَاءِ أَشْرَفُ الْأَقْسَامِ وَأَكْرَمُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَىٰ. Says the first characteristic are those people who Allah has described as having strength in their knowledge and strength in their willingness to apply that knowledge. Ibn al-Qayyim says, these are the most noble and honorable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Ummah of Islam, brothers and sisters, currently cries out in desperation for this category of people. Whether at the level of mosques, committee members, Islamic societies, households, Islamic organizations, da'wah organizations, Islamic charities. The Ummah is in desperation and cries out in thirst for this category of wholesome and complete Islamic personalities, those who combine between strength and willingness and resolve to do good and understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for the second category, Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, they are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the opposite of this. هُمْ عَكْسُ ذَلِكَ. The polar opposite of the first characteristic. لا بصير في الدين ولا قوة على تنفيذ هذا الحق وهؤلاء هم أكثر الخلق. He says the second category are the opposite of the first. They are weak in their knowledge and weak in their desire to apply that knowledge. Lazy, sluggish, and also unaware of the deen of Allah. This is the worst of all categories. Ibn al-Qayyim, however, he says, but they are the majority of humanity. They are the vast majority. As for the third category, he says, they are a people whom Allah Ta'ala has blessed with basira, with insight, with vision. They have vision. They have knowledge. عندهم معرفة بالحق. However, they are lacking when it comes to the application of that knowledge. So this may be a person who is very eager to lock himself up in his room, to read and study, convincing himself that he is contributing, memorizing and learning. But where is this individual from the burdens of the ummah? Where is this person from the worries of the ummah? This person is weak in his da'wah, weak in his personal ibadah, weak in his recitation of the Qur'an and salah. This person is not to be seen, but he has knowledge of the truth. This is not a favorable category to be in. As for the fourth category, Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, these are people whom Allah has given strength. Ulil Aid, he's given them strength. And they want to do good. Maybe they would like to establish projects. They would like to lead and initiate tasks. But they are lacking in their understanding. They have very little vision. These brothers and sisters, they can cause more harm than good. Although many a times they are intending good. An example of this could be a project or an event that is organized. So the strength is there, the willingness is there, the passion is there. But what is the outcome of such an event? An unrestricted platform for young, vibrant, and often hormonal Muslim males and Muslim females to interact in the most indecent and inappropriate of ways. And the outcome of this event is very well known to the masses of us. Only aid, the strength that was there, but the vision was lacking. Thus Imam al-Bukhari, he titles a chapter in his Sahih and he says, بَابُ الْعِلْمِ قَبْلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ. The chapter of knowledge before speech and action. The chapter of knowledge before speech and action. Ibn al-Munir, he says, commenting on this choice of wording, he says, أَرَادَ بِهِ أَنَّ الْعِلْمَ شرط لصحة القول وصحة العمل فلا يعتبران إلا به فهو المصحح للنية المصححة للعمل. He says Imam al-Bukhari is alluding to something very important when he chose these words. He is alluding that knowledge is the condition before speech and before action. It has to begin with knowledge, Ibn al-Munir, he says, according to Imam al-Bukhari. He says, actions and speech without knowledge are worthless. Why? He says, because knowledge is that which corrects the intentions, which then corrects the outcome of the actions. Therefore, my brother, my sister, it is essential that you know, and I recognize as well, what our respective positions are and roles as ambassadors of deen. What is my role that may be different to yours? And what is your role? It may be different to hers. Just because you are, for example, an eloquent sermon giver, and people, they invite you to give lectures and courses, this does not mean that you have now become a faqih, a jurist. Just because you are successful at the social level, people, they love you, they're around you, it doesn't mean that you're now a qadi, a judge. Just because you are a successful da'iyah, and people's eyes, they shed tears when they hear you speak, it doesn't mean that you're now automatically qualified to comment on current Islamic affairs, or that you are a munadhir, an Islamic theorist. Abadan. Thus Imam Ibn al-Qayyim, he says, concludingly, after speaking about these four categories of people, he says, وَلَا يَصْلُحُ فِي هَؤُلَاءِ الْأَقْسَامِ الثَّلَاثَ لِلْإِمَامَةِ فِي الدِّينِ سِوَى الْقِسْمِ الْأَوَّلِ. None of these four categories of people are fit to be leaders in deen, with the exception to the first category. We want to be leaders, the blueprint is clear. Only al-aydi wal-absar, people who gather between strength and resolve in the path of Allah, and vision as well. Therefore, ya ikhwani and my akhawat, interrogate yourself, and I must do the same, with the question that asks, how can I force myself up to reach that first category of people? Those who gather between these two beautiful traits. Is it more knowledge that I need? Or is it more strength that I need and more seriousness in my deen? Or is it a bit of both? Bearing in mind your age as a teenager or in your mid-40s or beyond that, ask yourself the question, what do I need to do, bearing in mind my circumstance and age, to get myself to that top category? The cream of the crop, the closest to Allah. Bearing in mind your gender, as a male or a female, bearing in mind the ahadith that speak about you and your circumstance, what do you need to do to take yourself up to that first category of greatness and to bring about the optimum return in the Akhirah? If we answer these questions, ya ikhwani and my akhawat, with seriousness and sincerity, Allah will help us find the answer. And therefore, what will happen? We may be fortunate enough to earn a portion of the description, وَإِنَّهُمْ عِنْدَنَا لَمِنَ الْمُصْطَفَيْنَ الْأَخْيَارِ. And they are to us the best of all people, the chosen and the outstanding.